Galesburg's Morning News, Tyler Gavin, Jay Redfern, and a Galesburg basketball legend back in town this week for his class reunion. He's laughing. His first trip back since 2012. He played during the town's basketball glory years under legendary coach John Thiel, whose name now sits on the high school gym. So joining us, 1969 Galesburg grad and Hall of Famer, Jim Reinebeck. Jim, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
We're glad to have you. So what brings you back? You know, we mentioned your class reunion this week. What's it feel like to be back in Galesburg? It's been a while.
It has, and you know, we've been in California for many years and live near major cities, and it actually feels really good to come back to what's normal.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit in the lobby before we went on. You know, you got in last night. Who have you connected with so far, and who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Well, last night, John Dredge, who was a GHS golfer, John Boydston, who was a doctor here in town, Charlie Doyle, who was a teammate, Tom Peters, and trying to think if I'm leaving somebody out, but we're just touched Rich Hegg.
Yeah,
we just had a great time talking.
Yeah, last night. Who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Well, anybody I can see that I knew, and certainly tonight and tomorrow night, just old classmates. I'm old, but you know, and then the Morgan brothers I know have passed away, and so they're not here anymore. But I'm hoping to see Zach Field. Some old friends, a veterinarian named Greg Weech was a friend at church. He's been a veterinarian in Galesburg for a lot of years.
Right.
This is going to be a great time.
Yeah. So you moved here in 1964, you know, right at the peak of the Silver Streaks basketball glory years. What was the basketball fever like when you moved here in 1964?
Well, we came from Mount Vernon, Illinois.
Which is another basketball
hotbed. It was a crazy basketball town. And I actually probably played against Doug Collins because he went to Benton. And if he was at Benton Junior High that year, we played. And I played with a guy who played for the Lakers and the Suns, and his name was Nathaniel Hawthorne. So we moved because we didn't want to move as kids, but my dad's job changed and Soil Conservation Service for the USDA. That's why we came to Galesburg.
What was Galesburg like, you know, beyond basketball, 1964, when you moved here?
You know, downtown, of course, more things. You'd see more things going on, more people, more business. Our church was right around the corner from Osco Drugs, and the Custer Hotel was still here, and the Orpheum Theater, and down the square, downtown square, and all those things. So it just was a fresh beginning. It was a town twice the size of Mount Vernon, Illinois, and there were a lot of factories here. A lot of people have worked in those places, and the school, you know, school was bigger, and that was a good thing.
Yeah. So in 64, you were going into your eighth grade year, I believe.
Absolutely.
So you were at Churchill. You know, what was it like? You know, you moved to Galesburg, and then you're going to Churchill your first day of school.
Right. So Casey Junior High in Mount Vernon was an old building, and Churchill was a new building. And Harry Garst was the principal, and he had a very gruff, gravelly voice, which terrified me. But we met the Morgans there, and of course the teachers at Churchill, and had a 900-seat auditorium. We had some school assemblies there. The Noggle sisters sang in one of the assemblies, different choirs and singers and stuff. And it just was a new, fresh experience for me.
Yeah. We're talking to Jim Reinebeck, 1969 Galesburg High School graduate, Galesburg Athletic Hall of Famer. He's with us on Galesburg's Morning News. We've mentioned John Thiel a lot. How would you describe him as a coach, and what did he mean to your career?
Well, John Thiel had a summer program, and the Morgan brothers told us, or Bob and Bill Morgan, you need to be in John Thiel's summer program. And when I tried to tell my mom, hey, Mom, for $7, I can be in this, and she wasn't that big on
she
spending
wasn't
money.
On it, huh?
But you know, that was after eighth grade. But so that's when I first met Coach Thiel, would have been following my eighth grade year. And that's also when I met Fred Mims during that time. And so the following year, the same thing happened again. And then it was open gym. But got to know Coach Thiel by reputation. The first basketball game I ever saw here was Galesburg versus Pekin.
Oh,
it was
wow.
A color broadcast game in late 64. We were at friend's house from our church, and they had the game was on TV. And they said, well, let's, he said, the let's go over and see if we can get a ticket, which he did. He got us in the game. And so I'm being taught about Galesburg basketball, who Galesburg is, who Pekin is, why Pekin are the bad guys. And last year there was nearly a riot. Somebody told us.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was Dave Golden played for Pekin. But that was – so that's how I started learning about Coach Theo. That game came first. The summer program came second. And I knew that the Morgan brothers – we're preparing us to play for John Thiel and the Galesburg Silver Streaks.
Yeah.
So that told you a lot.
So obviously, John Thiel, big name, reputation. What was the John Thiel that you'd kind of heard about like compared to the one when you actually started playing for him?
I don't think I heard a lot of stories about Coach Thiel, just that he'd been very successful and that it's going to be a great opportunity. And he was about the business of being a good basketball player, mm-hmm. and trying to get us to, as I made the team, get us to really give our 100. He talked about giving 110%.
Yeah,
and he was no nonsense and high demand, but in a good way.
Yeah. Well, what made him such a good coach, do you think? You've had a lot of coaches throughout your career. Different cities. Sure. College up to Division I. What made him a good coach?
Well, I think he had. The belief that high school kids could perform at a high level and that we could do the best that we could and that there are high expectations and it was when I say it's businesslike, but personally, he would talk personally about what it would mean to us after we got out of high school, that we would treasure these days, because playing in college is not the same. Playing in front of your hometown, mm-hmm. your schoolmates, your parents, all that would mean more to you than anything else. And so that, I think he sold the value of the relationships you get through playing sports. Yeah.
For people that didn't see you play, describe yourself as a player.
Well, I was taught to practice and develop the Mike Davis turnaround jump shot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so basically, you learn to make us up in your mind a set of plays. As a football team would have football plays, well, this way, it's you got your back to the basket, and you try to get the person guarding you to lose their focus on what you were going to do next. Mm-hmm. And a turnaround jump shot, just you got them off balance, fade away some, and that was really big. And the other thing was we learned to fast break. In Mount Vernon, we didn't fast break. But Galesburg, those drills over and over again in junior high and in high school, the fast break philosophy and mentality was just right out in front. And so I had to learn to lead a fast break if I had to,
Yeah. Some players, we know when they're in junior high that they're on track to be, a great player. Were you on that track, or did you kind of develop later?
Well, when I came, we were shooting layups one time in a junior, in an eighth grade PE class, and Bill Morgan was the teacher, and we shot layups, and of course I knew how to shoot a layup since second grade, and so he comes over to see me. He says, "Reinebach, where did you play?" And I said, "Mount Vernon." Uh-huh. That was his what he needed to know.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of preliminaries from second grade on, Macomb, Illinois, and then Mount Vernon. A lot of good basketball training. So a lot of ball handling stuff and everything else.
Yeah, and you developed into be a tall player. What was your kind of height progression?
Well, as a ninth grader, I was 6'2.5". So I came into eighth grade at 5'10", and midway through ninth grade, I was 6'2.5". And I also had my leg in a cast because I had the Osgood Slatters condition. And the doctor told the coach I couldn't play this year as a ninth grader. Mm-hmm. And the coach says, "Come on."
Yeah.
So it was Dr. Wilkins. And he said, "Well, we can put his leg in the cast." So they did that. And about halfway through the year, they took the leg cast off my leg. On the walking on the way to school, I fell, landing on all my weight on my right shoulder. I thought I broke my shoulder. I walked into Churchill, staggered into Churchill. They took me to the hospital, but it was just a bad bruise. So I had another 2 weeks I couldn't play. But that 6'2.5", I still was taller than everybody else.
Yeah. And then by your senior year, how tall were you?
Well, I was 6'5 then. So 6'3 as a sophomore, 6'4 roughly as a junior, and about 6'5. My shoes, I would be 6'6.
Okay. What were home games like back in the 60s?
Well, I think that Ohio Silver, that, you know, the Lone Ranger, the theme song, the William Tell Overture, that just hyped you up.
Yeah.
I mean, I already saw that as an eighth grader and ninth grader watching Silver Street basketball in the stands. You know, and we knew that it was a community event. A lot of people, a lot of adults were there. The game started at 8:30 at night. We didn't get out of there probably until 10:15 or more. But it was undoubtedly a community event, and so that made it exciting.
Yeah.
And the cheering and you know, just it was hype.
We're talking to 1969 Gillsburg graduate and basketball star Jim Reinebach, and we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll talk about more of the Silver Streaks memories. Welcome back to WGIO. We're back with Jim Reinebach, 1969 Gillsburg High School graduate, Gillsburg Athletic Hall of Famer. He's in studio with us ahead of his class reunion. He's back in town this weekend. So, Jim, your junior year, you were one win short of a state title. And, you, of course, your senior year, you made it to Elite Eight. How tough was it to come close twice and not be able to get that championship?
You know, actually, you wanted to keep winning. You're on this tournament trail, and every game in front of you is going to knock you out of the tournament. So I think more of it, more focus was the dream was be state champs, but the reality of now is you got to win this next game. So that really, so that we played Quincy in the super sectional. Well, actually, my sophomore, we played them in the sectional and lost to them by four. But in the next 2 years, we played Quincy in the super sectional at Macomb, about 9,000 people there. And at the end of that game, it was an overtime game, and I'm inbounding the ball to Leon Luckett with about 9 seconds left. So we already gave them a couple of free throws. The score was by 1 point. A mistake there could have cost us the state finals game. So Leon very wisely came running down the side baseline. I handed him the ball. I made sure I let go of the ball that he didn't just – take it from my hands, which would have been a violation.
Yeah.
So he gets the ball to Zach. The ball comes back around, and then I'm kind of a backup guy, a safety valve guy. The ball comes to me, and we're getting to near half court, and the clock is about to run out. And what stunned me was that Quincy did not foul me. They didn't foul Leon, and they didn't foul Zach. And time ran out.
Okay.
And looking back on it, I thought, what? Where those guys think. I really do. I mean, but so that's a blessing. You talk about luck, or I just thank God for every good thing that ever happened. So that, and then the crowd starts coming out of the stands. We win the game, which was definitely a question right up to the last second. And everybody's coming at us. You know, we're going to Champaign. The cheerleaders are running toward us. And then the fans just start coming. There's Gillsburg fans. And within a few moments, I realized, I'm not getting out of this gym if I don't do something. So, yeah, that's probably the highlight of all things was we're going to Champaign.
Yeah, I bet. That's the ultimate goal, right?
And that was, so then you're playing, in that case, we're playing Effingham, the number one team in the state. They must have had a terrible night because we won easily. And then we played DeKalb the next day, and that was a close one. And then we ran into Evanston, which Evanston's considered one of the best state championship teams. They beat everybody. They scored 74 games in a row.
Yeah.
Nobody was even close to them. Yeah. But
so who were their teammates on that 68 team then?
Well, 1968, Ruben Triplett and I were the low post men. Dave Wood was the high post guy. And then mostly Fred Mims and Leon Luckett, and Roland McDougal had come into a backup position, which is really shocking because he's such a great player. Just the smoothness of it all. But that team, anybody could have scored 20 any night.
Yeah.
And Ruben Triplett and I scored a little more than others just because – I think we're closer to the basket.
Yeah. And you mentioned Zach was coming off the bench as a sophomore.
Zach was coming off the bench. In fact, that Quincy super sectional win, 61-60. I mean, Zach played an important role at the end of that game. His calmness in handling the ball, and he was a big part of the fact that we got the ball up to half court, which we didn't have to cross half court with 9 seconds, but. Yeah, he kept his head very well, and so it was. Zach was on his way as a sophomore, playing behind some pretty great guys.
Okay.
Tanner Gum, Jake Redfern, and we're continuing our conversation with Jim Reinebach, Silver Streak star from the 1960s. Well, Jay, we've covered We covered high school life.
Yeah, we're going to finish up with his senior year, 1969. Yeah. Okay. You know, another great season, right? Yeah. You make it to state, but not quite as far as you did the year before. Talk about how your senior year went.
You know, we early on, we were playing at Pekin, and we were ahead in the third quarter by 11. And, you know, just we were going to, we weren't trying to cruise, but if you don't keep playing, if you don't keep scoring, if you're ahead of 10 or 12 points, you're going to be in trouble. So we're in Pekin, the place is jammed full of people, and we're holding for one shot at the end of the game. Coach is not real happy with how we've been playing. And so Ruben takes our last shot, probably with too many seconds left. If we'd been really thinking, we'd have just held the ball. But they get the rebound. John Tuzinski and I are streaking down the floor ahead of their guy. They had two guys coming down, and we had to drop back from the free throw line because their other guy was under the basket. His kid shoots the ball down the center, Pekin wins by two. None of us can believe it.
Yeah.
That's a team we should have beat, but that's a good player. We should have won that game.
And I see you got a clipping here. Streak stun Proviso East,
this
right?
This is the next night. So this next is night, Saturday night. We come back home. We've lost to Pekin. That should never have happened. And now we know Galesburg under John Fields should never, never, never lose two games in a row. So we were extremely motivated, and we knew these guys were great. That Jim Brewer, one of the all defensive team of the decade, between in the 60s. Jim Brewer was 6'8", 6'6 and a half plus the inch, 6'7 and a half on the floor. Great, great athlete.
And that game was here, right?
That was here, and then it had a guy named Harvey Roberts, I think, and the other guys are not memorable names, but they had other good players. And they focused on defense almost entirely.
Yeah.
And so in that game, we get into the second half, and I can say that I remember hitting a turnaround jump shot from the other side of the floor about probably 15, 16 feet away. That was an important shot. It went in. And the next time I got the ball and tried that, Brewer switched off on me and blocked
it. Swatted it.
And I turned around and started screaming, why didn't you guys tell me he was there? You know? But yeah, Jim Brewer would have been almost he stopped
us. So that's a huge win. That's one of the bigger wins in Galesburg history.
But it's probably the greatest win simply because Proviso East won the state championship that year. And everybody was thinking there'd be a showdown between us and Proviso East on Saturday afternoon, and it didn't happen. But if you look at the records, Proviso won. We lost to Champaign Central. They held the ball for the last 4.5 minutes, just like we held the ball against Proviso East at home. So their Champaign Central coach, I guess, read our playbook. And so we lost to Champaign Central. But I do believe that is the only time a Galesburg team in the same year beat the team that was a state champ. Somebody could check that out. But
yeah. So then it's over, but then you have a college choice to make. And we were talking a little bit off air about you did have quite a few choices to make, and you ended up in your birthplace, right, of Ames.
My dad went to Illinois State for 2 years. He transferred to Iowa State. His major was agriculture and I think education as well, because he taught high school up in Anawan for about 3 years and then switched to the career that he got. Yeah. So, I lost my train.
What were your college choices? You're mentioning Houston.
Well, okay, so the people that actually communicated with me directly, Houston and Drake, which was in Des Moines, and then Kansas. Some of the colleges would send you a weekly basketball letter. They're interested in you. Kansas sent letters every week. Colorado sent letters. Nebraska, these different places, and some in the East too. Actually, Steph Curry's college, Davidson. Mm-hmm. Was recruiting me, and Lefty Drizel had just left, and Terry Holland had just come, and it was a very long phone call with those guys, and I thought seriously, hey, what's the chances of going there? So Steph Curry and I have one thing in common. we were both recruited by Davidson, which was an all boys.
You both could shoot the three too, right?
Except
there was no three at that time.
Right, except there was really no Steph Curry at that time either. Unbelievable.
So you landed Iowa State, and just, real briefly, we won't get into a lot, but, how did your career go at Iowa State?
Well, they had freshman basketball then, and our freshman team lost most of our games, but I played with Larry Gibson from Rock Falls. Larry was a great player, but that's freshman year. Then the sophomore season, the leading scorer and rebounder in the Big 8 Conference had was at Iowa State, and he just graduated. If we'd have had Bill Kane, we would have done a lot better.
Yeah,
but we were in some close games. We were younger. We didn't have a dominant rebounder or dominant inside scorer, and so we lost a lot of games.
Yeah. And you mentioned you beat Kansas.
We came really close. The Big 8 tournament, Big 12, Big 8 tournament was at Christmas time, and so we stayed at the Muehlbach Hotel, and we played these games, and the first game was Oklahoma. Everybody predicted Oklahoma would probably be in the championship game, but we beat them. And Jack DeVilder from Moline High School.
Yeah, I remember that name.
Was a starting player on our team. We had another guy named Gene Mack, who was a great outside shooter. So those guys were as good as any guards in the conference. The rest of us were less. Other teams had outstanding big men, and I could name them. People wouldn't know the names. But so in that particular game, if I could talk about that game against Kansas briefly, at the last of regulation, one of their star players is dribbling the ball over half court with probably 18, 14 seconds. He's down to the hash mark that they had in those days. And another All-Stater from Iowa and I basically trapped this guy who had the ball. Why he kept the ball, I have no idea. But we got him to turn. The ball got knocked loose. We all dove for it. I was out in front, swatted the ball up toward half court. One of our players picks it up, goes down to the free throw line. Nobody on him, hits the shot at the buzzer and tied the game. So that was our one shining moment.
Okay.
I guess Mike could say my one shining.
Yeah.
Okay. They went to the Final Four that year.
We're wrapping up with Jim Reinebach, class of 1969, Galesburg Hall of Famer. So briefly, after basketball, you spent most of your life as a pastor.
Yes.
How did that path find you?
Well, actually, 1955, my mom and dad, who were decent, you know, they were decent people, but they began to realize they weren't really sincere believers in Jesus Christ. And they started going to a church. It was a Bible church. It was in Quincy. My dad's family was from 12 miles away, a farm out there. But so we started going to that church, and I tell you what, we learned the Bible as kids, the Bible stories, but they also taught us Bible verses. The pastor was a wonderful, loving man, and it was a church of about 350, and that's pretty big in those days. But that got our family in the direction that we had a spiritual foundation that came from the Lord, and we were imperfect, of course, but that was a guiding principle and a guiding light. And so whether or not I was going to be a full-time Christian worker or not, I'd say basically after college, I decided to go to seminary 1 year just to see, because my pastor's brother was a Greek professor. And so we went to the Bay Area, went to school there 1 year, served in a church out there. And at that point I said, you know, I think this is what God wants me to do. And that's how it happened.
Okay. What would you tell a kid playing in Galesburg today, chasing their dream like you had back then?
What I would tell them, the first thing anybody should do is find a true relationship with the Lord. You need God in your life. You need to have a view of the world that everybody's important. This is extremely important to me to say, that every human being is important, because the Bible tells us God created all of us, men and women, in His own image. And that's why we're responsible. We sin. We all sin. But I would tell kids that know that too, because when you go into sports and you start being selfish, which is a sin, and you start trying to hurt somebody, that's a sin. You don't listen to the coach, that's bad. I mean, these are all things that naturally come to you getting a knowledge of the Bible. I would just say, but learn those principles. Those are common sense principles. People don't have to go to church to know those things are true. And I think good coaching tries to instill that in those basic ideas. You are a team player. I can say without bragging on myself, I was a team player.
Yeah.
I was totally committed. I think that's infectious. You can help other guys. If they're not sure about that, you show them. You play well, you rebound well, you shoot well, but you also pass well.
Yeah.
I am the number 10. At that time, I was the number 10 assist man in Galesburg history.
Yeah.
And probably because Charlie Doyle ran down the floor and we threw these bombs,
yeah.
You know. But the respect for others, also the respect for an opponent, all that works together to help you become the kind of person and the player you want to be.
Okay. Before we let you go, Jim, I'm going to do a rapid fire. I'm going to give you some questions here, and just give me your quick answer, okay? Silver streaks, one word, just briefly.
There was a horse, Ohio Silver, and a train, and we were fast.
Okay. How about your favorite opposing high school gym that you played in?
Well, Pekin's gym just opened, and it was very bright in there. you know, Wharton Fieldhouse. Yeah, okay. Places like that.
How about a better era of basketball, the 1960s or today?
Well, the way the game's played certainly has radically changed, and people can travel. You run around with the ball and stuff they never let us do because you can't do the way we played and travel. So I realize you got to go forward with the game, and the game isn't the professional level. It is entertaining. Yeah. That is why people go to watch it. So that's, I think, the three-point shots, breathtaking. Every time somebody launches one of those, you don't know. So I just say I think that the way we played was probably better for kids.
Yeah.
I think.
How about, who was your basketball hero growing up?
Well, Cassie Russell was the first championship game I watched. Black and white TV. Cassie Russell, we knew he was a star player, and then what he did. And there was certainly Bill Russell. I mean, undoubtedly, the values we talked about, you're protecting your team, you're rebounding, you're working hard as he did, and there was Bob Cousy. I read a book about Bob Cousy that he had written, and just getting a general, you know, Jerry West, all of these great players. They were.
Speaking of great players, how about, who's the basketball GOAT? Who's the greatest of all time?
Well, people talk about Jordan. I think, you know, comparing Jordan to James.
LeBron.
Yeah. I think James, his body frame's bigger. He's a tougher looking guy, but his abilities are just amazing. Those two guys are, outside of the tall men that we could talk about, Kareem and others, those guys, I think, in all parts of the game. Yeah.
If you could say one thing to Coach Thiel today, what would you say?
Well, I'd probably say thank you. I would. Yeah. And he treated us well. I was told that Coach Thiel would say a lot of profane words to his kids at halftime. He never did that with us. I think hell was the worst thing he ever said.
Okay.
You know, people hear stories, but he was very, I think, very good to us and certainly very good to me.
Okay. Finally, Galesburg. What does Galesburg mean to you?
Well, that was a turning point. You know, becoming a junior high kid, our church was much larger up here, a lot more friends. It was good for us that we moved. It really was, on a lot of ways.
Okay. Jim Reinebach, 1969, Galesburg High School grad, Galesburg Athletic Hall of Famer, back in town for his class reunion this week. Jim, thanks for coming in and sharing your memories with us.
Jay, thanks for having me. Appreciate it so much.